City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it is Wednesday, August 23rd. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and because this is a Bismarck segment of the City Current, I'm here with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you, too. And you guys had a really busy meeting last night at the City Commission.
Lots of different topics last night.
Yeah, there was a lot covered. But before we get into that, I thought we could talk a little bit about the budget.
Sure.
Cities are going through the budget process, and last Thursday, you had your budget meeting. Mm-hmm. It was early in the morning, and a lot was you went through a lot that meeting.
We did. Yeah, that was the preliminary look at the budget, August 17th. And basically, we went department by department through the different requests that are coming forward and the different proposals from the departments.
A lot. You went over. There were some tweaks done, not a lot though, but it was really informative. And again, that's always on our website for people to watch if they want to go back and review that discussion. Mm-hmm. But the process now is the budget will be introduced at the next City Commission meeting.
Correct, Tuesday, September 12th.
And then the following meeting, there will be a public hearing on the budget.
Exactly, that's Tuesday, the 26th.
So that's the opportunity for the public to come and make comments. Mm-hmm. On anything they want to on the budget.
Yes.
And you do anticipate then that the commissioners will take a final action that night on the 26th.
That is our expectation, yes. And I would like to add, if anybody has questions about the budget, the agenda packet from the last meeting on August 17th is on the website, on the city's website.
Sure.
And you can review all the information that the commissioners had at that time firsthand.
On your website, bismarcknd.gov.
That's it, yep.
And again, the minutes and the agenda are usually on there. Mm-hmm. I would assume the minutes are on there by now.
Yes, the minutes.
Probably.
We don't post the minutes until they're official, and we have to wait for the follow-up meeting for them to become approved. So we have draft minutes, but we don't post them until they're all said and done. So the minutes from the meeting on the 17th should be posted very soon, because they would be approved at the next City Commission meeting.
So when they introduce the budget at the next commission meeting, will that be a consent agenda item? Will that just go, there won't be any discussion, we just introduce it and
typically,
call for the public hearing?
Yeah, typically it'll be on consent. Not a lot of chatter with items on consent, unless one of the commissioners has a question, then they can always pull it. But the public's opportunity is really going to be the 26th of September.
All right, good to know. We'll remind people of that too when we meet again. Okay, let's go to the agenda last night. Again, there was a lot you guys went through. A couple of things that don't need a lot of discussion because we brought them up before, but one of them is chickens.
Yes.
Chickens are allowed now. Chickens are legitimate in the rural subdivisions.
It's official.
Outside of city limits.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So people can have up to 10
hens.
Hens.
No roosters. And then also a coop or an area to keep the chickens.
Okay.
And the intent is, the chickens are for personal use. It's not that we want people to start an egg operation on their property. But for those that want to have chickens,
it's a done deal.
You can do it.
They're legit. The other thing that was on the agenda last night is another positive move forward is accessible taxi cabs for Bismarck is a requirement now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was an ordinance text amendment that went through last night. And really what it's doing is it's requiring all taxi companies in town to have what we would consider an accessible vehicle. And accessible means essentially either a lift or a ramp to help people with wheelchairs get into the vehicle.
Okay. So that's now law in the city
Correct.
Of Bismarck.
Yep.
Good to know. And there were two things that really took up the bulk of your meeting last night. And the first one would be the special assessment, the recommendations from your task force.
Yes.
That was a long discussion. It was a great presentation, by the way, by Commissioner Guy. To kind of walk everybody through all the points. And then there was some good discussion about some and they had some questions, So, but I think the thing we want to remind people is that this is just the start of this discussion. It's going to take a while.
Although we had a very robust discussion last night, we've got a long ways to go with education and outreach and research. We need to know answers to some of the questions that came up last night. What do we do with properties with existing special assessments? Yeah. That's a big question for a lot of people. So certainly no changes coming anytime soon. But we will continue to have this conversation publicly where there will be opportunities for public input. If anybody has questions, they can certainly call our office.
I thought Commissioner Oban's statement about when he was running for election, initially one of the most common issues that people brought up were special assessments. And people hated their special assessments. And he made the point last night to say, okay, now we're moving forward on the best option that we could find through a lot of research on this by the task force. So when it comes down to it, we may have to have a public vote.
Yes.
It looks likely that that would happen. Just keep that in mind, people, that it's either special assessments or here's the formula, here's how we're going to move away from them. And if it gets voted down, then we go back to special assessments. Yeah.
And the theory with the Special Assessment Task Force was that it's easier for a homeowner or property owner to budget for a monthly fee as opposed to the infrequent special assessments, which can run between 7 and 15 years.
And I think they catch people a little off guard, though you may know that it's been years that your street hasn't been anything happened, any maintenance on your street for a long time. You don't really anticipate, gee, I know next year I'm going to get a special assessment for a street improvement. You just don't really know when they're coming. And a lot has to do in the activity of the city and how much is on their plate as well. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about the specific recommendations from the task force. And again, Commissioner Guy kind of walked through those. So what would it mean to a homeowner? What do they think? What kind of impact would that
have? I think maybe the most noticeable impact would be the monthly fee. If that's the direction that we move towards, then you would notice a fee on your utility bill, a monthly fee. Now, what is that fee and what does it look like? We're not certain today. But as you heard at the meeting last night, we know on average what it takes to maintain the infrastructure that we have, primarily the street infrastructure. So when the group worked backwards from that number, it becomes pretty apparent about where we need to be with a monthly fee. Now, does that transpose to this is it? This is the only option? No, not at all. Not yet. We are a long way from having any final decisions.
And the fee that they came up with, again, very preliminary numbers, was around, was it $24?
$20, $25. I think the group, the task force had a desire to keep it as close to 20 as possible. But if you remember, Commissioner Askvig said, we don't want to charge a fee just to charge a fee. We want to charge a fee that is appropriately balanced with the work that it would
based on cover. Reality.
Absolutely.
So, and that's one of the tasks thrown back to the task force is let's get these numbers more real.
Absolutely.
Let's look at that. And then in conjunction with the utility fee, wasn't there another part of it would be an increase to our sales tax.
Correct.
So they would work together. It's not an either or.
Right.
Okay.
They would have to couple together. And the sales tax part of it takes a vote of the public. We can't just simply implement a new sales tax because we feel that it's appropriate.
And that would be 0.75 cents.
Up to.
Up to adding that. Okay. Adding to the existing 1%.
Correct.
Okay.
1% that Bismarck collects.
Okay.
Yep. And then the county's got a 0.5 cent sales tax for the detention center.
So where is the 1% of sales tax going right now? Is it all going to street maintenance?
Not necessarily. Some of it does go towards buying down special assessments.
Okay.
Some of it goes towards funding other projects and other things within the city. So
would that, if we dedicate the full 1% plus any additional to the street maintenance, would it affect other areas?
It could.
Of budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are some of the scenarios we certainly need to work through. We don't want to have any unintended consequences.
Sure.
And we always talk about level of service. You know, we're committed to this level of service, so we don't want to take away from one thing just to help another.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, this is going to move through a process. Now, also last night there was a recommendation by the group to merge this task force with your infrastructure.
Right.
Committee.
Yep. And that's a group that met earlier this year. And what they were looking at was The funding concerns with federal funding going away and primarily arterial streets, extensions of major roadways. So some of the recommendations from that task force overlap with the special assessment task force. So it's very appropriate that the two groups get together and, and get on the same page.
Yeah. Again, tightening up those numbers.
Yeah.
But the discussion last night, it would seem that it kind of boiled down to a couple areas, and one of them being, again, this, what do you do with people who are in a special assessment term right now, and some of them joining in recently, who may have 15 years of payments looking at them. How do you transition those people to that monthly fee?
Right.
Do you double up on that? How does that work?
Yeah.
And the other area that I thought was interesting and a valid point, too, was the issue of size of property.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a $20 or $24 fee for a standard size lot, what is that? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what about those oversized properties or larger lots? I shouldn't say oversized.
Yep.
But how do you do that in an equitable manner?
Yep. And equitable, I think, is the key. That's the task force kept going back to equitability. And all of these types of conversations are things that we're looking forward to with the public input. And there will be multiple options for public input as we go forward. So for those that are watching and listening, stay tuned because we're certainly not done.
Yeah.
Lots of chance to have your concerns heard, have your questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's something we're really looking forward to is public input because this affects everybody.
Absolutely. And we always get your information, so we help, you know, push that out to the public of when those hearings will be or public input sessions so people can come and ask their questions and see how that works. But it seems that this transition period is probably going to be one of the biggest challenges.
Right.
How do you transition from one system into the other?
And we understand with public outreach, it's everybody's busy. And we know it's tough to come to a public meeting at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. So part of the goal of the task force is to take this to the people. How do we get as much input as possible? So we're challenging ourselves to come up with unique ways to get feedback. So look for those again as we go forward.
Yeah. Well, and I hope we can help you with that as well as getting that something, some special presentation just packaged up and delivered online or on our channels that people can respond to and then a way for them to respond.
Yep. That would be great.
Yeah. That would be good. Again, two items. Special assessments was the big one, but also sidewalks.
Sidewalks. We spent a lot of time talking about sidewalks last night.
Yeah. It's a challenging situation because these are what we talked about last night was adding sidewalks into existing neighborhoods that currently do not have sidewaps.
Filling the gaps, infill sidewalks. Yes. There's places throughout our community where sidewalks start and where sidewalks end. And trying to make this community more walkable, having those connections is important to us.
And this effort started quite a while ago. I mean, these gaps have been slowly identified over time, and many of them already filled in.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of is it right to say the tail end of the gap filling?
I believe it's pretty close.
Okay.
We've certainly identified all the areas. In any new neighborhoods, sidewalks are up front. That's a standard operation. So we're dealing with older, established neighborhoods where change is, it hasn't happened in a long time. So we understand that this is different for some folks. But the city engineering department was charged back in 2006 to move forward to fill in these sidewalk gaps.
Identify where they are. And
so this is
come up with some
it's a long project,
designs.
But clearly we've got a lot of challenges in areas that are going to adjust to having sidewalks.
Well, and I can see, you know, as a homeowner in an older neighborhood or one that you've probably lived in a long time, it is difficult to understand why this would be important, but communities are now judged on their walkability.
They are. The walk score is a big thing in real estate.
And just because you're not getting traffic or foot traffic right now doesn't mean it isn't needed or it won't be used at some point.
Yeah.
We have a program on community access called Perils for Pedestrians. And it is given to us by an individual who lives on the East Coast. His name is John Wetmore. And he has been producing this program for, I don't even know how long, but I'm going to guess probably two decades.
Wow.
he is totally dedicated to pedestrian safety. And I think somewhere in his story, there is a reason why, because he's super passionate about it. And he travels around the country. He's actually been to Bismarck. He visited us, and I think it was over 10 years ago. He made a stop here and was looking at the community and talking to people about sidewalks. Sidewalks are his passion. Mm-hmm. And while his program might not be the, you know, highly rated or exciting to watch, the whole program is dedicated to pedestrian safety and what communities are doing to build that in. And sidewalks are a key critical piece.
Absolutely.
Piece. Yep. So it's nothing new, and but I can see why it's a little hard to digest for certain people. We have some maps up about, we'll bring up some maps about where some of those sidewalk gaps were discussed last night, and where the property owners have already been notified that these are identified and that the expectation is that these will now be installed. Now, to ask a question here about how that happens, then the city will move forward on design and actual construction of these sidewalks, and then special assess back to the property owner. Is that how that works?
That is one option, yes. The other option is for the owner to just simply pay for the work up front. There are designated contractors that can work in the public right of way, so it's not as simple as just calling anybody.
Right.
We have a list of bonded contractors that can do this type of work, private contractors that work with the city. But the best thing to do is just continue to work with the engineering department, because we know there are unique situations that will require a visit.
Sure.
And what do we do here?
Yeah.
We've got a tree. We've
Every
got a utility
property
pole.
Is they're unique. Absolutely.
They're all different. So I think the engineering staff is taking a very methodical approach to this, and definitely dealing with people on a one-on-one basis when they need to.
Yeah. So we're looking at one map right now on our screens, that South Bismarck area.
Close to Dakota Zoo, Sertoma Park, you see that along Riverside Road, there's an area for sidewalks. Also, the area between Runnings, the old Walmart, there's some areas down in there that need some sidewalks as well.
So are we talking where the red lines are here? Those were the new sidewalks will be?
Correct. That's where sidewalks are not in place today. And then we've also identified areas where there's gaps, where there may be a sidewalk on one block and an adjoining block, but not in the middle. So connecting those gaps is important as well.
I would think that the Sertoma Park one is going to be very well used.
I would think so. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. So that's one that in the south area. Now we're up
North Central Bismarck, kind of by Century and Centennial, the area around Century High School. This is an area that I travel through quite frequently. I live in this area of town, and I know that there are a few gaps. And you notice these gaps in some cases because there's an unplanned circulation route, as they call it. It's basically a trail that has been formed by people walking in areas where there aren't sidewalks. So definitely some gaps. Gabe Schell, the city engineer, talked about the area along the south side of Kmart, along Interstate Avenue, which we're looking at on the map. That's an area where there's a gap. There's some sidewalks and not everywhere. So
yeah, some surprising areas, too, that don't have a sidewalk.
Yeah, you would think with these commercial areas, particularly the Gateway Mall area, it would be a no-brainer today. Why wouldn't you put a sidewalk in? But, you know, decisions were made long before we were here
before they were required.
Before they were required.
So now any new construction has a requirement
Absolutely.
For a sidewalk.
Yep.
Okay. And I think we have a third map up here now. This is the Tom O'Leary, primarily south and west of Tom O'Leary?
Yeah, the Highland Acres neighborhood, south of the railroad tracks along that area as well. There's a number of gaps in there. And we talked about this before, the Highland Acres neighborhood being a historic area and having some concerns of what that would do to the historical integrity. So the commission said we can take a pause and take a closer look at portions of Highland Acres, but clearly there's a lot of areas that are going to be looked at for sidewalks.
That's a lot of sidewalks.
It is.
So, and there was a lot of testimony last night.
There was.
And one of the reasons is because we're talking about a pretty big chunk of territory here.
We
so
and we're
it's
impacting a lot of homeowners and a lot of property owners. But at the same time, the right-of-way was dedicated for public use, which means sidewalks, pedestrians, bicyclists, what have you. And when those sidewalks don't exist, the public can't use it in its intended purpose. So I think this is an important project.
It's about public safety, really, in the long run.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, stay tuned. But the decision was made last night to move forward. So
yep.
this process is in those areas that we just talked about, we're going to move forward.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, it was a unanimous vote to support sidewalk installation throughout.
Okay. Sounds good. A few other things on your agenda last night, the Proximal 50 renovation over in the old One Source Lighting building on Mandan Street. Move forward.
Yes.
Got approval, final.
Positive results with their request for a Renaissance Zone designation.
Nice.
So you can start to watch for changes with that building, both inside and out.
It's always good to see. And then Two Track Malting came back for a reconsideration. They were a vision fund, request for vision fund assistance on a PACE buy down.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a small amount, but a significant amount to them, certainly. Mm-hmm. And as we heard from the representatives of that group, they are nationwide with their outreach. So it's neat to see that we've got a kind of a hometown hero that has impacts throughout the nation.
Yeah, so. Nice. Ag, using it a local ag product, exporting around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
for
great.
Malted barley for beer.
Yeah, and speaking of beer, the Edwinton Brewing new alcohol license for that, move forward, that'll be in the depot.
Yep.
What's the estimated open time for the...
You know, that's a good question.
Particular.
I don't know that I've heard an exact date, but I believe they're trying to get early fall.
Oh, okay.
Coming up
not
here in the near future.
Then.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. I know they've been working in the building, making renovations. This is one of the steps in the process for them to check all the boxes, so to speak.
Sure.
So glad to see that they're...
This will be in the depot.
In the west end of the depot. Yep.
Yeah. Just to remind people, you're tuned into an edition of Bismarck City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle with Dakota Media Access, sitting here with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck. A couple other things we wanted to bring up, and one of the things in your notes to me was, let's talk a little bit about the various boards and committees that work on behalf of the City of Bismarck.
That's right.
And I think that's many people probably don't realize how many of your departments rely on citizen input on a regular basis. These aren't task force. A lot of them are ongoing committees or advisory committees.
Monthly scheduled meetings.
Yeah.
Public meetings.
Yeah.
All of them are public.
And to start our discussion, I think I'll just walk around on the website a little bit. And you can go to the city's website at bismarcknd.gov. And if you go there, you can go under... Let me get to the right spot here. Under their government tab at the top and go into boards and commissions. So you go there and you get a pretty good idea of all the various committees that they have set up at the City of Bismarck. Planning and zoning is one we're pretty familiar with here because we televise that meeting. We cover their regular meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That group's been in place for a long time.
Yes.
And they do a lot of work. And I should mention, too, that these boards and committees are kind of the feeder group for action that you eventually see to the city at the city commission.
Correct.
And on their agendas.
Yep. We generally refer to them as an advisory board.
Yeah.
They're making a recommendation for a final action. So this is really where a lot of the work gets done. A lot of the public input is held. And from there, then you'll hear that voice carried up to the city commission for final action.
And planning and zoning, again, a very important group in the community, and all the developers, residential builders, or commercial builders, too, they all have to work with planning and zoning.
Yes.
And you have to get through that process, preliminary processes with them before final approval on many of the changes in the new buildings that go up and whatnot. Board of Adjustment, explain a little bit about what Board of Adjustment
does.
Sure.
The Board of Adjustment is a group that, again, meets monthly as needed. And really what they're looking at are hardships or variances. You hear that phrase offered a lot, a variance. And a variance is really relief from the law or relief from the ordinance requirements. So what the Board of Adjustment is doing is they're considering... oftentimes you'll see people that they'll say, I'd like to add on to my home, but the setbacks don't allow me to, or I've got a challenging topographic situation where I can't build here. I'd like to build an outbuilding or an accessory building, but the lay of the land is such that I can't. So the person with the request then states their claim and shows hardship or tries to demonstrate the hardship. The Board of Adjustment is really the only board other than the City Commission that can deviate from the ordinance. City staff doesn't have the ability to just simply say, oh, go ahead and do it, that'd be fine. we can't do that. That's the role for the Board of Adjustment.
And when you once you've gone through the Board of Adjustment, do you need to go to planning and zoning also?
Not necessarily. Okay. A lot of
depends
times
depends on the issue.
Yep, they can be a one-time situation. Generally, if you're at the Board of Adjustment, your property's quite likely been through planning and zoning because you've got an established lot and a zoning district and, and all of that in place.
Okay.
So.
And we should mention also that these meetings are open to the public.
Certainly.
These are public meetings, and people can attend any of them. And just looking again at the Board of Adjustment page, they meet the first Thursday of each month in the Tom Baker Meeting Room at 5 p.m. So that's just one group. But there are a number of them. Committee for People with Disabilities. We've got Forestry Advisory Board. I used to be a member of the Forest Advisory Board back with Paul Blumhard was the city forester. And then Jeff Heinz took over at that time, too. It was a very interesting process that we went through. Really a great group of people and guiding the Forestry Department on a number of
issues. Absolutely.
Human Relations Committee, a very active, very visible committee. Mm-hmm. They just made a report to the commission at their last meeting. Library Board has a group as well. Mayor's Gold Star Community Task Force, and we've talked about that group.
We have.
Dealing with addiction issues in the community.
Behavioral health, that's very new. We've met a couple of times, and we will continue to meet quarterly and then as subcommittees as well. So that's definitely a brand new one.
And members of these boards and committees have to go through an appointment process, correct?
Correct. There's an application process. Typically, when there's a vacancy or an opening, that would be noted on our website. And anybody within city limits generally can apply for these. There are some positions, planning and zoning particularly, where you can live outside city limits and serve as a member of the ETA, the extraterritorial area. But for the most part, we would ask that everybody be a City of Bismarck resident for most of these. And ultimately, it does take a commission action to approve the request for that person to sit on the board. And in most cases, there are term limits, 3 to 4 years in a lot of cases.
And some of them don't have term limits. And if someone just decides to resign, there could be an opening as well. We also have the Metropolitan Planning Organization Policy Board, but that is made up of representatives of...
elected officials.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. That's the
So not
Bismarck.
All are looking for volunteers, but quite a few.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But again, a public meeting. Those are absolutely meetings that are open to the public. And I believe the policy board meetings you guys broadcast
as
well.
Yeah, we do cover that one and store it online as well. Mm-hmm. And then the Renaissance Zone Authority. And some of these groups may not have an opening, but you could also indicate your interest.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is an opening, some contacts could be made.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
There are ways to serve if you're interested in getting involved in various activities that are going on in the city, just in general, or if there's a particular area that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're out of time again.
Okay.
We went
it
through
goes fast.
I know. We went through a lot of information. Oh, the one thing we did want to talk about is Coffee with the Mayor is coming up Friday morning.
Yes, Friday the 25th. 7:30. Yep.
Okay.
7:30, Terra Nomad. And this is a monthly event. The mayor hosts, it's basically an open discussion. There's never an agenda. There's never a topic. If you want to talk about something with the mayor, we'd invite you to show up.
Again, this is the Bismarck Mayor Seminary on Friday morning, August 25th at 7:30 at Terra Nomad. And remember, we're recording this on Wednesday the 23rd. So you may hear some replays after this event. But again, as Jason said, it's a monthly event with Coffee with the Mayor. So.
And we always post that on our website as well under the news and events. So a couple days before, we'll make sure to put it up on the headlines so people can pay attention, keep track.
All right. Thanks for coming.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.